Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, he joins us every Friday at this time, it is Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Five, our movie guy. Hey, Kevin.
Kevin.
Good morning, John Awville, Eric Bickle, John Paul Flame, and Jason Lurch Bishop.
Jason's not here today, but I'm sure he's thinking about you right now.
Yeah, of course.
Anytime Kevin. Jason's off, Jason, what he does is we talk every single day. He watches Fox 5. He's just a great friend. He actually delivers dinner to my house every single night.
He consumes
night, so thank
all
you.
Of your content. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Where are
Jason's
you, Kevin?
Great.
Are you in town? Are you in L.A.? In Russia? Where are you?
I actually am in town. So, oddly enough, this is probably I haven't told Drabin Valdez this yet. I'm actually I'm on vacation next week. I'm going to China and Japan for my third year wedding anniversary. So,
very nice. How'd you pick China?
Well, I've always wanted to go to Japan. Japan specifically is where I wanted to go, but Lauren found out this really cool route where we can go into Shanghai, and then she wants to do like a cruise and then go to Japan from there. So we're doing that. I mean, Japan has been a love of mine since I first saw Kill Bill, because I was like, I became like obsessed with the culture and the language.
What's the movie
so
scene
weird.
You're going to reenact when you're out?
Yeah, bring your Godzilla ticket stubs.
Lost in translation, too.
Well, you know, it's funny, Cakes. I'll tell you a story about that. Not a story, but something funny about that. But Kill Bill, I saw in college, and I took Japanese in college because I was obsessed with the culture because of the film. In regards to Lost in Translation, Cakes, the reason why Lost in Translation is a big deal is because obviously there's a big part of the movie that takes place there. We actually tried to stay at that hotel where he stays, or Bill Murray stays.
Of course,
but
he did.
It was one of the most expensive and ridiculously priced hotels I've ever seen. I don't even remember. I mean, it was astronomical.
Hey, Kevin, why don't
thousands.
Kevin, ask Eric his favorite scene from Lost in Translation, because I know what it is.
Wait, he probably thinks Lost in Translation is a science fiction movie.
No, I know he saw that
movie.
I know that he has a favorite scene in this movie. It's just a matter of whether he can track with it.
All right, what's your favorite scene in Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, Eric?
Oh, just the opening scene. Where Scarlett Johansson's laying on the bed in her silly panties, right?
Yeah. You nailed it, EB. Well done.
I don't remember anything in movies. I remember that one.
Right.
That's a great scene, but the best scene in that movie, arguably, is when she is the whispering in the ear sequence at the end. I mean, that's the iconic moment from that film. But I understand why you chose
that
scene.
I don't remember any of that.
The only thing I remember is EB being obsessed about ScarJo in her granny panties.
I never
on the
even
bed.
Saw it.
Can someone make that a meme
sure.
or GIF or
of
whatever?
They can.
GIF is what I
well,
want.
Well, Eric. Yeah. Eric, if that's your favorite scene, then you need to see a movie called Under the Skin. It's a movie that she made years ago. I mean, she's an amazing actress. She has a movie coming out later this year called Marriage Story, which is incredible. But this, if you're thinking about the scene from Lost in Translation, you should watch Under the Skin, because that will take you in a bunch of different directions.
The ScarJo scene that gets me every time is where she's making out with the dude in
Match Point.
Match Point, like in the meadow.
In the rain.
Yeah. That's like
Cakes. I know you so well.
Is that like Blue Chew?
It's nearly
for you?
Like a take your pants off type scene. It's like borderline.
Still don't understand Match Point. Yeah. Inside joke. Let's get to Joker. You interviewed the star of Joker. I think you love Joker, but let's get the official review.
Yeah, I mean, this is a film that I'm actually genuinely shocked exists in the way that it does now. And what I mean by that is this is a gigantic movie studio like Warner Brothers Pictures putting out a film that you generally would see put out probably through like an independent type studio. This is a very disturbing, horrifying, nasty experience that I'm just – It's interesting because I've seen it twice, and I know this review might sound crazy because I'm using words like that, but it is an excellent film. It's a masterpiece from every cinematic element you could think of, from score, direction, cinematography, and performance. But I've seen it twice, and the first viewing, when it ended, I had a really hard time answering the question, is it good or bad? And I'm not doing a bit. I know you guys made fun of my tweets about me unpacking it and like emotionally, but it is, if you actually read the social media reactions to it and the review reactions to it, my reaction to it back on September 10th when I first saw it was completely essentially in line with how everyone's feeling when they leave the theater. It is a movie that it takes a lot out of you. And I know people have said you need a shower afterwards. I mean, I genuinely believe that. I mean, it's you, when you leave, you just feel gross and dirty and horrified. And to me, that is an interesting perspective. But when you see it the second time around, that's when you really kind of appreciate what the brilliance of what Todd Phillips did with the direction and the filmmaking of it. I think the first time around, you're just so anxious. You don't know what's going to happen. And this is a very hard R-rated movie. And people keep asking me, is it really violent? I'm like, yes, it's violent. But you've seen more violent movies. John Wick, for example, the new Rambo movie. Those are movies that have more violence in regards to number of people being killed. But in this situation, it's more about how it's done, the context of it, the sitting with Arthur Fleck, Joaquin Phoenix's character, as he's descending into the Joker and becoming the Joker. And Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, you guys all know this. This is not saying something new or, you know, fascinatingly new, but he's one of the best actors I've ever seen. And this performance is the best performance of his career. And there's nothing here that is... It's a perfect performance. The guy lost 52 pounds, and I don't think that weight loss translates to equaling a great performance. I think that the weight loss was what helped him emotionally and physically become Joker. I don't know if you guys have seen clips from the trailers where he's like bent over and his back has the bones protruding out or his rib cage. That is all real. They did not enhance that with any visual effects. He is genuinely that skinny, and his bones are sticking out. Like, his rib cage is hanging over his pant line. I mean, it's wicked stuff, man. Here's the thing. So people, is it a comic book film? No. This is very much like The Dark Knight, where I thought The Dark Knight transcended the superhero genre, where it was a Batman film that just felt grounded and in real world. And you have the Joker in that film, Ledger's performance, popping up in sequences, and he steals the movie. And remember, if you guys remember correctly, when he would show up in those scenes, he would tell a different backstory every single time. He would say, here's where I got those scars. So if you could imagine one of those stories playing out for 2 hours and 2 minutes, solely focused on just Arthur Fleck becoming Joker without Batman, and this is prior to Batman becoming Batman, Bruce Wayne is in the film, but it is one of those movies that is a complete character study. It's a descent into madness. You feel disgusting as you're watching it, and that's an interesting way to put it, because then you go, why do I want to see this movie? And I think the reason is, and I gave it a 5. I mean, I'm not trying to hide my rating. I think this film is masterful. I just think it's a tough movie to watch. And I think that when you walk out of it, if you don't know how you feel, or if you're feeling weird or like numb about it, that's just because the movie, it gives you that feeling. And then once you see it again, you kind of understand why you felt that way. It's amazing. It really is.
How many? 5.
5 out of 5.
5 sillies. Shocker.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Eric, I know you're not a superhero fan.
Yeah.
This is the kind of movie that I think you would go see and you would love it, only because it's not like, it's not, you know, people flying around with superpowers and
you
this
have
is
to have
all...
seen like 900 other
no,
films
no,
to know
no,
what's
no.
going on.
Dude, Eric, this movie exists completely on its own. You don't even have to see a single Batman, Superman, any movie. This movie is a literal character study of watching a person who was, you know, beat up, picked on, whatever he went through in his life, and it's that descent into how he becomes one of the most famous comic book villains of all time. But that being said, Gotham City is a gigantic part of it, and this is what Todd Phillips does brilliantly. Todd Phillips, you know, this is the guy who did Road Trip and Old School and Hangover and War Dogs. And to have him kind of transition into this is pretty wicked. And as you're watching it, that's what makes the film so incredible is Joaquin Phoenix plays the character in a very relatable way. As you're watching the movie, you understand and you're feeling with him up until a certain extent. And then clearly, once he becomes Joker and once he becomes the madman that we kind of know Joker to be and the violent person that we know him to be, that's when you kind of check out from the relatability of it. It's the process of getting him there that makes it interesting as an audience member. This film is, like I said at the beginning of the segment, I can't believe it exists. I can't believe it's a movie that's being put out in a major wide release the way it is. It just doesn't feel like a type of movie a major studio would put out like this. And to me, that's kind of props to Warner Brothers for taking a risk to do a movie like this. And it's already, people are saying $100 million this weekend, possibly. This is an R-rated movie, which is very hard to open up, especially with a Joker-type character. So I think that it's brilliant, and I just want people to kind of go see it. I know there's been so much talk around it and controversy around it. And in my opinion, a lot of that controversy came from people who hadn't even seen the movie yet. So I'm just curious to see what your listeners think. I'm curious to see what you guys think. Just go in and watch the movie for what it is. Don't think about any outside voices you've heard, controversy. Just let it kind of wash over you. And then once you leave, then you'll talk about it. I mean, that's what this movie does. It makes you want to talk, it makes you want to think, and it makes you want to kind of come up with your own ideas. And Joaquin Phoenix is just extraordinary. He's unbelievable in the movie.
I'm actually looking at just some of the GIFs. His face is freaky. It definitely is a freaky face.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about the idea that, 52 pounds off of... So, I don't know if you guys have read a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff about this, but, he was apparently eating an apple a day. And I when I sat down with him to talk about it...
How is he doing that?
Well, yeah, that's what I said to him, Eric. I said, listen, man, I'm not going to sit here and ask you, the generic question about, you losing the weight and how you lost it. I'm just curious... Who is the safety person? Is it you that has a cutoff, or is there somebody on the other end, like a doctor or a studio, saying, Joaquin, you gotta? He said he met with a doctor, and I guess the doctor gave him vitamins and minerals throughout. I'm assuming daily. I'm not sure how it was administered, but it sounds like Well, I don't know if it was like a. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was like a liquid thing or something like that. But
my
point is,
he's getting his nutrients even though he's only eating a friggin' apple.
Right.
Essentially, yeah. So they were able to kind of keep him healthy while he lost the 52 pounds. But the reason why the 52 pounds is interesting is because of what it does to him mentally. So as you're watching the film, he was actually figuring the character out every single day, which is kind of fascinating because if you're watching the movie, Joaquin Phoenix has no full grasp on who Joker is. And that's kind of brilliant because... Joker is an unreliable narrator, meaning that what you're seeing on screen, you don't know if it's real or not, because the Joker could be essentially telling you this is real or not. We don't know what we're watching, and that's kind of what's so amazing about the movie is now you can go back and pick it apart and go, that's real, that's not real. I have a theory about the ending that I told to Joaquin Phoenix, and he stopped and was shocked about the idea, and he goes, I never thought about that, and he goes, now I need to think about that. He didn't even have an idea of what the ending or the character may have been going through for real or not.
That's
annoying. No, I mean that in the best possible way, meaning that the Joker is an unreliable narrator.
Run.
So,
five out of five, masterpiece, best performance ever by Joaquin Phoenix.
Go see it.
We'll
see what you think
next
about
week.
It.
All right. Thank
love
you,
guys.
Kevin.
Thank
that's
you.
Kevin.
Love you guys.
Or 2 weeks, whenever you come back from China.
JP.
China.
From Fox China, 5. Like the third anniversary.
Remember, John Feinstein, best-selling author, will join us at 8. Michael Rappaport joins us in studio at 9, right here on The Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. Tonight, it'll be Steven Strasburg on the mound at 9:37, Cakes.
I mean, that's just such a tilting time to start a ball game. I understand it's the weekend, it's Friday, but I mean, you're basically starting the game at 10 o'clock. You know what it is? It's a big, gigantic middle finger to everybody on the East Coast.
If it's an average game, and playoff games tend to last longer than average regular season games.
Right.
If it's an average game, it ends at 12:37.
Yeah. It's actually a double-barreled middle finger to everybody that lives here on the East Coast. That's what that is.
As I said, last night I didn't feel any shame in it. I really tried to stick it out, but once Rodney gave up the hit, and I think that put them down 4-0.
Yes.
I turned the TV off and went upstairs. I don't know what time that was. I think it was 11:15, 11:20.
Probably
maybe.
Around 11:15.
Yeah. And it was
I remember I was fading in that inning, and then for whatever reason, after that, I got like a second wind,
and I didn't even
get up and do anything. Now, during the game, I didn't have one. I didn't have two. I didn't have three. I had four cookies. Like, I just kept going with these chocolate chip cookies, which were so good.
I nervously eat throughout the game.
I kept going, and I kept telling myself, this is the last one.
Right.
And then a couple innings later, I was like, I'll just have one more.
Do you do that? I nervously eat like crazy.
He's a beer guy.
I'm a drinker during the festivities.
So two beers will satisfy you during a three-hour game?
Like, I might go downstairs and I might dig my grubby hand into the Cheez It box.
Right. Or,
grab a few pretzels every once in a while. But
my family's really bad. So I don't know how you guys do. You know, I'm sure at Jason's house, they don't allow it. But my kids will sit down on the couch and they'll bring like Cheez-Its or like those oyster crackers for soup.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I love those crackers.
You know, or my goldfish.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll sit on the couch and we'll just snack and watch the game, or they'll do their homework or whatever they're doing.
Right.
And I'll lean my grubby hand over into their goldfish bag.
As you should.
100 times.
I mean, you're the one, providing all the snacks.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I mean, that's all I do.
Yeah.
But especially when there's a tense game, I just eat. Eat for to deal with the tension.
I want to flip the question that I asked earlier, because it kind of had more of a negative spin of what's the panic meter. What's your confidence level that it's just one game and the Nats can get back into the series with Steven Strasburg on the mound? Phone number is 800-636-1067. Because the reality is, you've got your two horses going next. Mm-hmm. Strasburg tonight, and then Max at home. And then you go back to Corbin, and it's not like they hit Corbin very well.
Yeah.
He gave up a bunch of walks, threw 107 pitches, but it's not like they were rocking Corbin. Corbin would be in game four.
And then you would
go back to Strasburg in game five if needed. I think you're in good shape. You're in pretty good shape.
My confidence is at a four.
You're very confident coming off a 6-0 blanking when
Drubbing. The
bats were just dead.
Yeah.
It couldn't look more dead. Can you believe how optimistic
he is? He's very optimistic. That's fine. They won 93 games. It's good team.
It's the disconnect. It's his worldview against our worldview.
And we'll also have to be a devil's advocate, because I know you guys are negative Nellies. All I'm saying is that you can be optimistic. I'm not saying, look, my confidence level is the exact opposite of the panic meter. So, mine's about a four. Yours should be a 1.5.
Well,
because you're 8.5 on panic. You should be 1.5 on confidence.
I don't know if it's that symmetrical. I don't know.
800-636-1067. I'm just saying, you have Steven Strasburg on the mound, and then you've got Max. It's not like you're throwing out a bum.
Here's the thing. You keep obsessing on our pitchers. I'm telling you,
what's the most important factor?
They're going to be fine. Our starters are going to be fine. Like, I don't know if he's going to throw, six shutout innings, or he's going to give up two over six, but they'll be good enough to win. It's what do we do at the plate? Do we get on base? Do we see pitches? Do we advance guys? Do we do the little things? Like, last night, we didn't. If they do the little things, the advanced analytics score runs, then I'll be confident. But I'm not that confident because it seems, for some reason, we have sort of a pattern of not scoring runs in the playoffs.
Again, you're facing the best pitchers. I mean, it makes sense to
I know,
me.
But they're facing great pitchers too. But other teams seem to find a way to generate runs. We don't do as well for whatever reason. I know that sounds kind of like DC curse-ish, but it's a fact. Our bats don't really come alive generally in the playoffs, and I don't know why. And other teams do. We are playing, but they're also facing our great pitchers, too. We had a great staff.
I do feel like you have to get this game.
Oh, it's an absolute
theoretically, even if you lost, I guess you could say, well, let's just win our next two at home, and then anything could happen in a game five.
You can't
but
go.
I feel like if you're down 2-0 against those pitchers, well, it's going to be tough sledding.
You're going to be in an 0-2 hole against a team that won 106 games, and you're expected to win three straight against them. I just find that too daunting.
I'm going to look it up.
Got
to
get the split.
Record of teams that lose the first two in a best of five in MLB. I don't know if I can.
Here's the record. Hurting. It's not good. It's a hurting number.
It's not good.
There's no way it's good.
No, it's impossible.
Well, you're already got a 72% chance of losing if you lose game one.
Right. I mean, teams have come back. When the Red Sox won their first World Series, didn't they come back from down 2-0 against the Yankees?
I think they might have. Jason would know that better than me. All right, you want to try to bang out some calls? What's your confidence meter? It's pretty hard to be confident after a game like that last night. Kind of your worst fears came to fruition. The bats got quiet, and the bullpen reared its ugly head to just end any chances of a comeback.
I'm telling you, I was just rewatching the highlights. And so Rainey came in, and Rainey gave up a walk and kind of a bloop hit, if I recall. And then Rodney came in, and they scored a couple of runs. But, man, did they tattoo Strickland. Strickland got lucky because one of his outs, he gave up two home runs.
Mm-hmm.
One of his outs looked like it was a surefire double. Adam Eaton made a great play.
Well, at that point, the game was over. It was 4-0 in that game. That point, the game was already
over.
See,
the hard part is you wish that Davey could manage game two like he did the wild card game. And maybe you can, where you just trust, You go to Hudson and Doolittle and say, you guys got to throw multiple innings. Like, we're only going to use Strasburg, Hudson, and Doolittle, maybe Sanchez.
I think you could bring in Sanchez. Don't be surprised because with
Strasburg. But is Sanchez the type of guy who can come in for like an inning or two? I have no clue.
Well, he might have to be.
He's better than the other donks.
Right.
So I think, you know.
I'm in case of emergency, I'm breaking that glass if I'm Davey Martinez.
I think it's a stretch to expect Stras to give you seven tonight. That's a stretch.
Oh, yeah. I think
if
you're going to get
you
max
five,
six.
If he gives you five, that's probably what you could realistically hope for.
So if he gives you five and it's a 2-2 game, 3-2, whatever, it's a close game.
Who
are you touching in
the
pen?
I don't know all the splits.
Innings.
I don't know all the stats. I don't know who's doing what against who.
Apparently, they like Suero against some of the lefty hitters. So you're going to have a heavy left-handed lineup, including Peterson, who hit just a monster shot off of Strickland.
You're not bringing in Strick. You're not bringing in those guys from
Suero,
last night.
Do you trust Suero? Because they say Suero, his slider is good against left-handed bats.
I like Suero okay. I like him more than Rodney. I like Rodney's story more, but I trust Suero maybe a smidge more than Rodney.
Rodney's story is about to end because I don't see him being here next year when he's, 43?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be here next year, but he might be somewhere.
Yeah.
The guy still throws in mid-90s, 42 years old. What were we going to say, Drabby?
Of course anything can happen, but I don't understand how you can feel confident to say, if Strasburg's only going to go five or six innings, you have two hits in game one, you're going against a great lefty pitcher, and the game's going to be left in the bullpen, and you're on the road, and you're already down what is equivalent of 2-0 in a seven-game series.
Yeah, you can't be confident.
What's it to be confident about? You can pray and be hopeful, but I'm not confident.
Yeah.
No, of course you're not.
Right, let's go to the phones.
You know what you are? Rational.
Thank you.
What point did you switch over to the Seahawks?
Oh, I had Nats up on my laptop the whole game.
Oh, you did?
Okay. By the way, Russell Wilson's having an MVP-type year. Have a pick.
Drab Hawks are playing
He doesn't
well.
Have a pick this
I didn't
year.
Watch 1 second of that game.
Well, he had four touchdowns. You missed touchdowns. The best player in football.
Yeah. I didn't watch 1 second.
He might be.
Yeah. I've seen him play. He's fine. Oh.
Your guy, DK Metcalf, brought in a long
I saw he
a
had a touchdown early, right, in the first quarter or something?
Well, then you missed three after that.
He did? DK?
No. Russell.
Russell.
No,
look at the excitement.
No, I like DK. I can size for DK.
Yeah, he had a 40-yard touchdown.
No, he had one pass. I saw I don't know if it was ESPN stats and info, but some sort of breakdown where they said that the completion percentage on the pass he threw to the way that the touchdown was grabbed with the toes in the corner of the end zone was like a 1% chance.
Yeah, and it was Tyler Lockett brought it in.
I actually watched the play again, and I don't know if he was actually trying to throw it to Lockett, but what a play.
It almost looked like he was looking to throw it out of bounds.
Yeah.
And Lockett was there, and he had a sliver of a space to make the play, and he did.
But the Rams could have easily won the game because it went down to a 44-yard field goal, and Zuerlein pushed it right.
Yeah, Legatron missed it.
All right, got some people want to chime in here on the Nats. It's 800-636-1067. Are you feeling confident? Where are you on the confidence meter?
Where are you at, Cakes? Two?
I probably
like a two or a two and a half?
Yeah, I probably lied confident. When I said four. It's probably much lower.
I'm very unconfident right
basically,
now.
Basically, if you put a gun to my head right now, I'm going to say, we're big losers.
Yeah.
Let's go to Max in Richmond, listening on 105.1 The Fan. What's up, Max?
Oh, man, what a night. I'm very confident in the Nationals still. You got your A. Strasburg tonight.
Yeah.
You get the day off. You woo-sai. You come back home. You get an electric crowd. You got Scherzer coming in. All we got to do is stop swinging at balls outside the strike zone.
Yeah.
Stop swinging at the balls insanely high outside the strike zone. And, I mean, as far as the bullpen, they got to come in throwing strikes.
It's easier said than done, though, when it's coming at you 100 miles an hour and you got to make a decision in a hundredth of a second.
I also think the reason why you say the bullpen has to come in throwing strikes, the reason why they're not throwing strikes as much, and this is the same thing for Corbin, is there's so much on it, they're being extra careful. They're trying to work, you know, the corners and the outside. They're not just throwing it right down the pipe because you're going up against, you know, guys like Cody Bellinger, and you can't do that.
Right. Well, you can't get behind. I mean, that's what happened with Rodney, right? It was it a 2-0 count or 3-1 count? He had to pretty much throw a strike.
Yeah.
And then, of course, whoever it was ripped it.
Threw a fastball to Muncy. You can't do that.
Let's go to Tom in Reston. Tom, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, good morning.
I'm still very confident. I think that game was sort of not a good indicator. I mean, they had won 9 straight. It's not like they're going to win every game for the rest of the time, you know. And
right.
They were coming off a big, exciting game. Then they have to travel to L.A. the next day. And also, that umpire was banged up. I mean, if you looked at the pitch, mm-hmm. you know, the placement in that first inning where some of those walks were happening, there were a lot of close, you know, it was an unusual situation. But it was really the bats were the problem. You could tell that they were kind of ragged out. So I didn't think they were going to sweep them. You know, I think if they win one tonight, then I like their chances very, very well. And so I'm equally confident as I was going into the series. And obviously the Dodgers are good, but I didn't like that game last night. Didn't bother me at all.
Wow, that's a good outlook to have. Thank you for the call.
Excellent. All right, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
I'm a prisoner of the moment. I have what's called recency bias from what I saw last night.
Right.
So I don't share the same viewpoint as that caller.
Let's go to Alex in Tysons. Alex, what's up, man?
Alex?
Is he there? Did I lose him? I'll try to give him another shot. Let's go to John. John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, John?
I watched the whole game last night. But what stuck with me is what I would consider a substandard play by the first baseman, Kendrick. He had two balls that went right under his mitt. I just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it was bad defense. I think he only had one error playing first base prior to that, and he made two last night.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Do you think he'll be back in again?
I think he'll be back in again, but Eric mentioned this earlier on the show when we were talking about the matchups against Kershaw. Zimmerman's actually had success against him, so you'd expect Ryan Zimmerman to be in a lineup.
I think
tonight.
Zimmerman's hitting something like 330 or 340 against Kershaw. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to put him back in.
Got
to
get him in.
And then Kendrick on the bench as a pinch hitter late in the game.
Right.
When they go to their bullpen.
Look, it's just one of those days. He just had one of those days. Unless he's hurt.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks, God.
Yep.
Good night.
Thanks for the call.
Yep. Let's go to Dave in Reston. Dave, what's up, buddy? Dave, are you there?
I'm going to put a pin in my confidence meter. The key to any 5-game series is stealing one away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait till after this evening. If they win, it's going to go to about a 5. If they lose, panic button at about 1 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
if they lose, it's over. You're not winning 3 straight. I'm sorry. You're not winning 3 straight against that team. I don't think.
It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dave.
The only reason it has happened before, EB.
But the only reason why he doesn't want to give a number now is because he knows it'll be butt low. Because right. Even if they win, his confidence is only a 5.
Yeah.
If they win, now it gets a little tasty.
Yeah.
If they win.
You got to get a win with Strasburg.
Everything hinges on tonight.
And if they win, you're going to be in the ballpark Sunday night.
That's right.
It's a must win.
You'll be there.
Oh, that'll be a pain in the ass. But I'll be there.
When we come back, we'll pivot to the NFL. We'll do the Junkies Blitz. But right now, you need to embrace your fighting spirit with KO Distilling. Wearing my KO Distilling lid today. KO Handcrafts award-winning bare knuckle whiskeys and battle standard gins at their magnificent state-of-the-art distillery right up the road in Manassas. KO co-founders and veterans Bill Carlson and John O'Mara now proudly offer a 10% military discount to all veterans and active military personnel at the distillery. So cruise on over for a tasting or tour every Wednesday through Sunday. And for more details, visit KODistilling.com or check them out on Facebook. And remember to always drink KO responsibly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well. Coming up at 8 o'clock, John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, will join us. Then at 8:20, Ben Davis is going to join us. He used to be a catcher in Major Leagues. Now Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. We'll get his take on the NLDS, this battle between the Nationals and Dodgers. And then Michael Rappaport's joining us in studio at 9 o'clock, actor-comedian. He's at the DC Improv this weekend. But right now, it's 7:45. We go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice, their service to help our military veterans. Visit donatepurpleheart.org.
Papa.
If you had Russell Wilson in fantasy football, you're a happy man.
Yeah, you're loving it today.
Russell Wilson had a 4-touchdown game as the Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29. Jared Goff had a pretty good night, too, threw for 395 yards and a touchdown. Todd Gurley found the end zone a couple times, but it wasn't enough because Greg Zuerlein missed a 44-yard field goal at the end of the game. So the Seahawks take a lead over the Rams in the division now.
Yeah,
so
this Rams team, they're really leaking oil on defense. I mean, they got ripped to shreds by Jameis Winston and company last week at home. Short week, had to go on the road and face the Seahawks in a traditionally tough place to play, and they allow another 30 points. So they need to fix that defense going forward. Thought to be one of the stronger units, they've allowed nearly 90 points in the last 2 weeks.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
If they figure out how to fix the defense, send a memo over this way.
Exactly.
Because we haven't figured that out.
Skins could use some help in that department, too.
By the way, I said they took a lead over the Rams in the division, but you still have the Niners who are undefeated actually atop that division.
Right.
So really tough NFC West, and you got Arizona.
And the Niners are at home this weekend. They welcome in the Cleveland Browns. I think that's a winnable game for the
Niners. One of my top 5 matchups. We'll get to that. But here's the deal with Russell Wilson. Everybody knows he's great. But this, so far, 5 games in, his greatest season, 12 touchdowns on the year, 0 picks. His career completion percentage is 64%. He's at 73.1% thus far. His quarterback rating is 126.3.
It's pretty absurd what he's doing. And you pair that with their efficient rushing attack. Remember, Chris Carson in the first few weeks was fumbling the ball, couldn't hold on to it. He was testing Pete Carroll's patience and faith in him. Carroll stuck by him, and look what he did last night. Went for almost 120 and caught the touchdown. Now he bobbled it in the end zone.
Yeah.
He's got terrible hands, but he was able to corral it. So Carson mixed with what Wilson is doing makes that a tough offense to defend.
Drab, you feeling good about your Seahawks?
Those Drab Hawks are looking good.
Or do you think you're just uber fortunate?
Well, definitely uber fortunate. I mean, it was a chip shot at the end of the game. Our defense is a sieve. But in Wilson's last 19 games, he has 42 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
I wish, Valdez, do we have the technology to go back to the draft? Because he was the one guy hyped up. At the I discovered Russell Wilson.
And honestly, I've gone through. I've sifted through that tape.
You can't find it the day after the draft?
I mean, it's just because stuff. I have all that stuff, but it's. I don't think it was the day after.
Well, I think. I mean, all anybody said is about this. Said all I know is my favorite pick was Russell Wilson. I love that pick. They got him late. I can't even remember at this point. They get him in the fourth round.
He was the third round pick.
I remember when the hell that was.
I know.
75th pick overall in his draft.
But that was like my favorite pick.
By the way,
I love
that. That was the RG3 / Kirk Cousins / Russell Wilson draft.
Right. Wow. What a draft.
By the way,
please find some comments where I'm jocking him.
4-1. Okay, 4-1.
Yeah.
Some people aren't buying them. I think Nick Costas is going to join us coming up at 9:45. Handicapper. I saw he thinks they're a little
minimal
fraudulent.
Sweats.
They beat the Bengals by a point in the opener. They beat the Steelers by 2. In week 2, and then they win another 1-point game. So 3 of their wins by a total of 4 points.
Hey, you know what?
Dubs.
Give them credit for finding ways to win close ball games.
Let's check in on Nick's record.
Yeah.
Wait, Nick, about 33%.
Nick, fade him all day long, Costas, who I love, but he's a tout. Look, he's a tout. By the way,
more like Nick cost us.
Yeah. That's a good one, Valdez.
It'll cost you some money.
The next 3 for the Seahawks, they are at the Browns, home to the Ravens, at the Falcons.
7-1. Mark it.
Hey, I think didn't you and I have Seattle going very, very deep in our predictions?
I don't know. I do that every year.
Yeah.
No, but I think I did.
I think you have them in the Super Bowl.
I think I might.
Ooh. That could be a good
pick.
I'm
so good at that thing, and I hate doing it.
All right, let's go.
You have a talent.
Let's get to the top 5 matchups in the NFL. I'm only putting this as number 5 because we didn't have time to hit the Skins today. We're heavy on Nats talk. So I'll start with the Redskins game. They are catching.
Hold on. That gets a top 5 matchup.
It's number 5 matchup. I just told you why.
I know. I understand.
We haven't been able to talk Redskins. Here's the challenge for the Redskins, other than the fact that they're playing another NFL team. They're playing the Patriots. They haven't officially said Colt McCoy is starting a quarterback, but that's what everybody thinks is going to happen.
Right.
Well, whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Colt McCoy, Dwayne Haskins, Case Keenum, they're going up against the number 1 defense in the NFL that is number 2 against the run, number 2 against the pass, and they've allowed a whopping 1 touchdown this season.
Mm.
Patriots defense has allowed 1 touchdown this year. So that's what Colt McCoy or whoever's the quarterback is going to have to face. Not to mention that the Redskins' defense stinks and they're facing Tom Brady.
So will the Redskins score an offensive touchdown against the Patriots this weekend?
Well, I don't know. Is McLaurin going to play? Has he been limited?
It looks like there's some thought that McLaurin's going to play because this was just speculation.
I would rest him.
So they,
it's a loser anyway.
They cut Robert Davis again.
Yeah.
And so they've cut him twice.
Rents don't buy Robert Davis.
And the thought was that they brought him back because McLaurin wasn't playing last week. But they activated Cam Sims. And that Cam Sims is, I guess, a different type of receiver than McLaurin. But Davis might be most similar to McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the
I don't know.
Listen to the next month for the Patriots. They're at the Redskins, which, by the way, is going to feel like a home game for them. Because I fully expect 30,000 plus Pats fans in the stands, maybe more. Then they're home to the Giants, at the Jets, home to the Browns.
I mean, that's winner, 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 winner.
Should be 4 wins. Now their schedule gets tougher. They have to go back-to-back at the Ravens, at the Eagles after that stretch.
They're definitely benefiting from their schedule, but they're a great team. They won
the
Super Bowl last year. Their defense is as good as ever. They're allowing 6.8 points per game. That's what they're allowing. Less than 7 a game. And they also lead the league in interceptions by double the next highest team. They have 10 interceptions, and they have 18 sacks tied for the league lead.
I'm just dumb enough, though, to think that somehow the Redskins are going to score 1 offensive touchdown against them. I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's going to throw the ball or who's going to run the ball in. I think they're good for 1 offensive touchdown.
I've never seen the ESPN matchup predictor this high. 85.7% they have New England. I mean, I think it's 100.
Yeah.
I think it's 100.
Yeah. But that number is low.
I've never seen it that high.
Right.
You know, normally it's right around 50, 60.
Right. Check the next game. The next game I'm getting to, number four matchup, you got the Vikings at 2-2 heading to New York to take on the Giants, also 2-2. Minnesota's laying 5 in this game. Interestingly, it seems like Saquon Barkley may play in this game.
Hmm.
Wow, there's whispers he's coming.
That's pretty quick.
He looked good.
Wow, from a high ankle sprain, that's pretty quick to come back, right? Well, wasn't that his issue?
Guess is they hold him back, but he was on the practice field and he looked good.
Well, the running back to really watch in this game is Dalvin Cook, who struggled last week against the Bears, but now he gets a soft landing spot against the Giants. I would expect a big game from him.
And a lot swirling in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins struggling out of the gate, right. Adam Thielen taking a shot, Stephon Diggs allegedly wanting out of Minnesota and requesting a trade.
Yeah, things are not going well in Minnesota at this point. I mean, a lot of infighting.
I saw a stat this morning. I don't know if it was ESPN or NFL Network. Adam Thielen, through 4 games, is down 34 targets as compared to last year.
Right. And you're paying him, I want to say, around $15 or $16 million a season.
What is the line on the game? I'm surprised.
Minnesota laying 5.
Because the ESPN match predictor has got him at 71%. They have the Vikings. Yeah, I'm really
not You're surprised
by that. By that much.
Well, they are facing a rookie quarterback in Daniel Jones, and they're a terrible defense. See, what you forget is the Giants have a terrible defense. The Redskins couldn't expose it, but they are dreadful. Number three matchup, Monday Night Football. The Browns head to San Francisco to take on a Niners team that's coming off a bye and undefeated. Browns, of course, got big win against the Ravens as Nick Chubb went off. What's your vibe there, Cakes?
I like the Niners in a close one. I don't know. Is Chubb going to continue the heater at this point? I don't know. Though he did score 3 against the Ravens, ripped off an 88-yarder. In his last two, he's got 96 and 165. I like the Niners in a squeaker.
Colts are at Kansas City to take an undefeated Chiefs team. Colts at 2-2. They're catching 11 points in the Sunday Night Football game.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if you don't see an offensive bounce back from Pat Mahomes and company. Struggled against the Lions a bit, even though they won the game. I think they're going to get right at home against your beloved Colts, JP.
And my top matchup, potentially a battle of the top teams in the NFC, the Packers at 3-1 head to Dallas, take on a Cowboys team that's coming off that 12-10 loss to the Saints, also at 3-1. That's a Sunday 4:25 game.
Big question mark for the Packers. Will Devontae Adams go? Suffered the turf toe injury last Thursday night. Has not practiced all week. That would definitely hurt their chances if he can't play.
Coming up next on a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. It's Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.